how I'm doing in my Christian ATODA, that's alcohol, tobacco, and other drug addiction classes. As you all know, they took me on pro bono because after I finished the typical drug and alcohol rehabilitation course, I finished that course the first person that they ever had at Shore Haven to finish the course with perfect attendance and to never had a dirty urine.
Praise God.
And after that, something didn't feel complete because I felt like, okay, I passed the course. I did that without using, without being absent, except for when I was in the hospital. But Lord, there's something missing. I feel like there's something not complete. And something said, that's because, okay, you're no longer an alcoholic, you're no longer a drug user, but you need to be able to speak this and learn how to keep people from doing this through my words, because I got something for you to do. So I said, well, I need a Christian drug and alcohol rehabilitation place, because I need to be able to speak to people about this from a Christian's point of view. I said, I wonder if there is a such thing. And as I was coming to the end of my treatment, getting ready to graduate, I was getting ready to move also. And I was telling all of the people in my class about things that were happening to me. I would come in one day and say, ooh, would y'all... They always ask you, how's your day going, and how are you feeling, are you craving? And I would say, no, I'm not craving, but let me tell you, I had a bad day today. You know, I'm trying to get my house boxed up, and I'd ask my 16-year-old, she was 16 at the time, would you help Mama box up the house, because we got to be out of the house in 2 weeks. I'm not helping you box up a thing. I hate you. And I would say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? I'm going to church. I'm studying the Word. I'm not drinking, I'm not using drugs, I'm trying to stop smoking cigarettes.
Amen.
And this child is telling me that she hates me and she preferred me when I was doing drugs, running the streets, and drinking. So what am I doing wrong? And I said, and then I would come home and open the door and all the boxes would be lined up to the ceiling. They done created them and labeled them, her and my father. And I'd have somebody in the group say, oh, you always have some kind of miracle happen to you, Miss Christian. And I said, but it did happen, it did. And they would tell me I was lying. And I said, no, but God is good. And one of the things that they couldn't accuse me of is, I said, okay, you say I'm lying. So I started taking pictures of my blessings. Just so some of these people that were getting mad, even though I felt like I shouldn't have to stoop that low to these people, because the counselors wouldn't back me up and say, no, you can't call her a liar. I couldn't call them a liar, but they could call me a liar, is if I would say God was good to me that day. I felt like I had to go out and play I Spy Detective Trina and show them proof. So I go home and I took pictures of all the crates and the boxes, all the cabinets that were emptied out the next day, whatever I would say. I said, today me and my father got into it and he hurt my feelings and I'd be in group calling, crying. And then the next day I come back and say, you know what my father did to me today? He blessed me by doing this. And they say, ah, yeah, there you go again, another one of your holy stories. And so when it got to the day for me to graduate, the counselor called me and said, Trina, we've decided that you've caused too many problems in class, and the class decided they don't want you back, and we're not going to let you graduate today. Mm-hmm. I said, but I got perfect attendance and no dirty urines, and today, tomorrow's my day of graduation, and my baby's expecting to see that cup that you said that I get for having perfect attendance and no dirty urines, and she wants to see that cup sitting on my mantelpiece.
Amen.
I want my cup. You can keep your certificate, but I want that cup that you said I get. I want that cheap little dollar store cup that I told my daughter about that I'm going to receive. I said, if you don't give me my cup, I will call my doctor and I will call my insurance company and then I'll contact the attorney. So I fought for the cup. And some of the other girls said, if she don't graduate, we'll drop out and we'll call a better business bureau than this. And we're not even religious. I said, what did I do wrong? I said, do you know my denomination? No. Do you know what church I go to? No. Did I ever tell any of these people in this room that they need Jesus to get sober? No. I said, so what did I do to make anybody mad? Only thing that, I've ever said is that I've been saved and that I personally would not have been able to get sober unless it was for Jesus Christ to change my life. That's all I ever did. And I came in and I said, this happened to me. That happened to me. So good things happened to me. So some of the people who have not seek Jesus got mad. And you, the counselor yourself, said you got off heroin through the grace of God. But now you're going to tell me that I can't graduate. I said, I graduate before I go to my insurance company. So they threw me a graduation party. And I got my cup.
Amen.
But,
Amen.
What did that for me was my mother. My mother taught me to never be passive. And what brought this subject is that during this Christian AODA class I'm going through, is that I got to step 8. They're on step 6. I got to the group kind of behind. They were at step 4 when I got there, and they gave me all these stacks of homework and said, can you catch up? I caught up and went a little bit ahead of the group because they're still in step 6, and I handed in the work. He said, oh, no, you're going too fast. We're not on step 8 yet. We're on step 6. He said, slow down, sister. But that's all right. We like that energy in you. He said, but you're going a little bit ahead of me. So slow down a little bit and just stay right there where you're at, and we'll get to that step in a few more weeks. But step 8 is about forgiveness and amends. It's about the people who have hurt me and people who I have hurt. And I started off working with my mother because I always felt like my mother hurt me because she died of alcoholism. She died of pancreatitis. And she told me that the doctor told her that if she took her medication, she could live maybe 10 years longer. If she didn't take her medication, she would probably die within the next year to 5 years. And I begged her, Mama, take your medicine, go to rehab, do whatever you gotta do to stay. Don't leave me. If you left me, it would be like me losing my left arm. And I'm a self-taught artist, and I'm left-handed. I even wrote her a letter explaining to her how much I loved her and how much she taught me. And she asked me, what's this? You gonna commit suicide? And I said, no, that's telling you how much you're needed. And she did die early, February 15th of 2000 would be the anniversary. This February 15th of 2008 would be the 8th year anniversary of my mother's death. So February 14th, which is Valentine's Day, which would be her birthday, she died the day after her birthday, used to stir up a lot of bad emotions for me. Usually around that time, I would either be inpatient at somebody's hospital, either detoxing or fighting to try to find the will to want to live after trying to commit suicide. But now, I have a new approach on February 14th and 15th. Now, I look back at those years that I wasted feeling anger towards my mom, feeling hatred towards my mom, because when I did this step 8, looking for forgiveness and amends, I walked through the steps of my lifehood with my mother. And being that I had an addiction of my own, I can see through her eyes what she might have seen and what she might have experienced. And I understand that my mother taught me to be an assertive person, not a passive person. She always said, education is the key to life. She said, get your education so you don't have to depend. Her opinion was, get your education so you don't have to depend on no man. So that you don't have to wash your husband's dirty drawers, get yourself a job so you can have your own bank account, your own car. And if he leave you and them kids, you can take care of them yourself. But a lot of things she said made sense. But one thing I always noticed that my mother never did say, she never did say, go get you some God. So I realized that I thought about my grandmother. My grandmother got on her hands and knees and kneeled every night. But she would teach me how to bake cookies, but she never talked to me about God. And so I thought about it. My mother didn't have something that I had. She didn't have that little nice lady who took me to church with her sometime.
Amen.
So it wasn't my mother's fault that she didn't have the same mentors that I did. So I forgave my mother. because she was missing something. Mm-hmm. Y'all have to excuse me on that. She was missing the glory that I got. But she did teach me one thing. She did always say to me, you sow what you reap. So that's what brought me out of my addiction, because I looked at my little girls and my little grandbabies, and I say to myself, is this what you want them to think? Is this what you want them to think? Do you want them to think this is how you solve your problems? Is by hiding behind an addiction? No.
Amen. Amen.
My mother did teach me that, that you sow what you reap. So until the day I die, I will call on Jesus.
Amen. And
I have a problem.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. And now Amen. I'll get to my poem for you all.
It's really good.
Thank God is good.
That's good. Amen.
And I forgive my mother. And she did not leave me because she was an alcoholic. She left me because she didn't know how to call on Jesus. And that was not her fault. She didn't have no one to teach her like I did. My mother did, before she died, tried to go back to church. My father did before he left this earth, and he's still here today. Y'all just heard him sing. He closed down his taverns, and he stopped drinking, and he put his cigarettes down, and he went to church.
Hey,
so I have them as my mentors. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot to be thankful for, yeah. And I have
Amen.
A lot to love my Amen. Parents for.
Amen.
This poem is called My Sweetest Desire. Won't you be my Valentine? Thy love is so great. Without you, my life has no faith. Your words bring wisdom and peace to my heart. No other can persuade me from you to part. So sweet you've been to me with the presence of that divine greatness you've blessed upon me. No one's worldly riches can compete. Your words teach me how to live in this place with a warm heart and a sound mind. That's why, dear Lord, I ask you again, won't you be my Valentine? This was inspired by Solomon's Song of Songs. Solomon's Song of Songs is about being in love with someone in a monogamous relationship. It's about the type of love that you don't see anymore. One thing my mother and father also taught me is that my father and my mother stayed married until the day my mother died. My father said he married that woman in front of God and promised God to live and love her until the day she died. Because people used to say when her alcoholism got bad, boy, why don't you just leave her? He said, because I made an oath in front of God that I would never leave her. And no man and no woman on earth can come between us. That is why today I don't feel bad that I'm single. I used to think, there's something wrong with me. I'm pretty. I'm smart. I can cook well. Why come I can't find the right lover? Until I read 1 Corinthians. What is it? It's 1 Corinthians. Just let me find my notes here. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 through 2. It says, now for the matter you wrote about, it is good for a man, and I believe it goes for a woman too, not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. 33 through 34 says, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interest is divided. So, I no longer look at myself as being something wrong or being an old spinster. Right now, the Lord has something planned for me.
Amen. Amen.
I don't disgrace myself or my children or my Lord by shacking, as the young folks call it, because I got to have somebody. I got to be with somebody. Because look at me, I'm not supposed to be single. No, I'm not with somebody right now because the Lord has not sent me somebody. The Lord has not blessed me to be married yet. Because right now, maybe a man is just getting my way, or the Lord's way, I should say, of what kind of work he has for me to do. February, the month of February, people call that the month of love. And like I said, it used to stir up bad emotions in me. February 28th is my birthday. I called my brother one year on the 28th of February to invite him over to a barbecue and found out he had killed his girlfriend of 12 years, who was my best friend.
Oh my God.
While they were intoxicated on crack cocaine. But he's in jail right now, and he'll be getting out in a year, and he says he's given his life to Christ. So I'll be able to celebrate my birthday when he comes out. I used to take countless lover after lover, trying to be the perfect girlfriend, wanting to be the perfect wife. In ninth grade through 11th grade, at the 11th grade, when they started voting for who's going to be the most likely to be married, most likely to end up being the president, me and this young man, we were voted to be most likely to be married because I was the only girl in high school who always got a teddy gram sent to her on Valentine's Day in homeroom. But I suffered from a kidney dysfunction that they found out, a malfunction that they found out about when I was on the 11th grade, and I had to have a 1 out of 1 million kidney surgery. And they said there was a possibility that I might never be able to have children. So when I came out the hospital, I found out that my boyfriend, who respected me so much and said, we will wait till we get married, when all my other little girlfriends were getting pregnant, and I was the only one that was still a virgin, and he said, we'll wait until we get married, when he found out I might not be able to ever have children, when I got out of the hospital, I found out that he had impregnated not only my best friend, but also my neighbor up the street from me. So that broke that little thing about us being most likely to be the ones that got married after high school. But I felt all right after I gave my life to Christ. Mm-hmm. Because
Amen.
I know that Christ has something in store for me. And I know that Jesus loves me, and that's why I call on God every day, not just in February and not just on Valentine's Day, because his love never ends, never will stop loving me, and he loves me unconditionally. Amen. And he gives me the best gift that any man or any woman could ever give me. He Amen. Gave me his son, Amen. Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. So that I can stand here and share my love with you all like I'm sharing it today.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Trina.
Amen.
Before George's close, I'd like to ask you to give a close.